This morning, so glad that you're here. My name is Pastor Rich, and we're going to be in God's Word this morning in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13. If you'd like to open your Bible to Hebrews 13, and I'm going to read in a few moments here, Hebrews 13. In case you do need a Bible, you're always welcome to use one that's located underneath the seat, and we encourage you to follow along. And the title of the message today is based off of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, and I've called it, "The Lord is My Helper." The Lord is my helper. And what a wonderful year it has been so far. I know we're still very early in the year, and it's just January, but there are some incredible things going on here at Crossroads and also what's planned for the rest of 2023. We have new groups. We have new ministries. By the way, if you're a young adult age 18 to 29 and you haven't joined up with our brand new young adults ministry, we invite you. They meet right after this service at 10:15 in the gym building. There's free breakfast. Last week, we kicked off that new ministry. We had 25 in attendance for the very first meeting, which is great. Praise the Lord for that. We also have new groups. We have new classes, two new groups that are starting in the month of February, new outreach events, which was mentioned here just a little while ago from our children's director, Brianna, Journey to the Cross. We're very excited about that. As she said, it's going to be kind of like Walk Through Bethlehem, but on a little bit smaller scale. In order for us to do something like that, we need you. We need your help. We need volunteers. So I encourage you. I encourage everyone here to participate in some way. On your handout today, there's a sign-off card. Choose one of those areas. If you're not really sure where you want to serve, just click the box. check the box that says, you know, I'll help anywhere. But I'll help. That's the main thing. Amen is I'll help. I'll do what I can to serve in that outreach event to be a blessing to all those that come on that Easter weekend. So we're very excited. We're excited about what God has planned for this year. We're excited about what God has already done. Even God is bringing new people continually into our church. So far this year, in the month of January, we've had almost 100 first-time guests attend a service here at Crossroads, which is unbelievable that so many new people are coming to church here, and we are so thankful to God for that. And if you know me, and if you've known me for a while, you know that I like going full steam ahead. I don't like to sit idle. I don't like to be complacent. I like to be on the move for Jesus and do whatever I can for His glory, do whatever I can for His church. And that's me, and that's what I've done for all these years. But sometimes it's fearful. Sometimes I'm fearful because I don't know what the future looks like. I don't know what the rest of this year looks like. I don't know if we'll have enough volunteers to do Journey to the Cross. I hope so. I pray for that. I encourage you to sign up to do that. You know, I don't know if we're going to have enough of this or enough of that. I don't know if we're going to have enough leaders for our existing ministries to operate the way they should. I don't know if we're going to have enough leaders to start up new ministries. I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns that are in the future, and sometimes those unknowns make us fearful. There are a lot of things that you and I probably are afraid of, and maybe we're vocal about it, and maybe we're not. I found a list of phobias that I thought would be very neat to share. They're pretty interesting. So I have them on the screen here, and the first one is this. It's called cyberphobia, and that is the fear of computers. Anybody have that? Probably not as many people. If you were to ask this question probably 20 years ago, you probably have a lot more hands go up. And then we have ecclesiophobia, which is the fear of church. And I guess that would be a good excuse not to come to church. I have a doctor's note. I am allergic to church. And then we have lunophobia, which is the fear of the moon. So I think that person probably doesn't get out much at night. We have astrophobia, which is the fear of lightning. Anybody have that one? And then we have, some of these I might mispronounce, is chromatophobia, which is the fear of money. I don't think I have that one. And then we have europhobia, which is fear of the color red. Let's hope that person never gets a paper cut. And then we have homilophobia, which is the fear of sermons. I've only seen one person leave so far, so that's a good sign. The rest of you are still here. We have triskaidekaphobia, which is the fear of the number 13. And that might be why you don't ever see floors 13, especially on cruise ships. And then we have paleidophobia, which is the fear of baldness. I think I have that one too. And finally, we have phobiophobia, which is the fear of fear. But if we were to be perfectly honest, I think we would have to say that most of us are afraid of something, whether it's heights, it doesn't matter what it is. But usually, most of us are fearful of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. And we're still pretty early in this year, as I said, and we don't know what this year is going to bring. We really don't. The Bible says we really don't even know what tomorrow holds. You know, the old map makers, before they had the modern instruments that we have today, when they would draw maps, they would draw maps out as far as where they had been, as far out as where they had explored. And then the old map makers, up until about 550 years ago, the old map makers used to write this at the edge of the maps. And I confirmed that this is true because I found it on the internet. We know the internet's always correct, right? But on the edge of those maps, the old map makers used to put this phrase. And the phrase was, beyond this, there may be dragons. Now, had they ever seen a dragon? No. No, they didn't, but the thing was this, is that they did not know what was out there. It was the fear of the unknown. As far as they were concerned, it was uncharted, it was unknown, and therefore, it was fearful. Later on, Christopher Columbus, as we know, he made his voyages, and the Spaniards thought that they had reached the outermost limits of the earth. But Columbus proved that there was indeed more beyond. And it wasn't dragons. It was gorgeous beaches, fertile fields, and many other beautiful things. You know, life is full of ups and downs. Would you agree? You know, just the things that we've seen this past year, there's been some ups. You know, in sports, who would have guessed that all three Florida football teams would have made it to the playoffs? First time in 20 years. Who would have thought that the Philadelphia Eagles would go undefeated most of the year and play in the conference? You know, there's also been some downs last year here, one that we can identify with, and that is in Florida, many people were hit very hard with the disastrous hurricane season. Some are still displaced. And who knows what 2023 is going to bring? It is certain that there's going to be many things to rejoice about in our life. Maybe family members come to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll witness some baptisms. Maybe there'll be some weddings in your family this year, some graduations, reunions, retirement. Our favorite team wins. You know, those are the things that we smile about. Those are the things that bring joy or happiness to us. But there's also certain things that may come our way in 2023 that will overshadow our joy. Things that are hard to smile about. Sickness, marital issues, conflict with a coworker, maybe job loss, financial troubles, concerned about a family member that is strayed away from the Lord, dealing with your insurance company. You know, who looks forward to that? You know, but with those things in mind, I want to encourage you this morning to look with me in God's word at Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 and 6. The Bible says this, it says, let your lives be without the love of money and be content with the things you have. For he has said, speaking of God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I heard of some men years ago who were on an old ship, and the ship was leaking, and it was in the middle of a very rough and stormy sea, and they were fearful for their lives. They didn't know exactly what the future was going to hold for them. They didn't know if they were going to sink or not. So one of those men went in to see the captain and inquired of the captain and said, Captain, what's going on? Are we safe? And the captain put it this way. He said, "This ship is very old. The boilers on this ship are very weak. They may explode at any minute. And because this boat is so old, she's taking on water, and she may leak." And then he said, "To be honest with you, we might have an explosion, or we might sink. We might go up, or we might go down. But at any rate, he said, we're going on." And that's the way it should be with us as we move through this year of 2023. Jesus might come and we might go up. Amen. We might die and go down and then up. But at any rate, we're going to go on. Amen. We're going to go on. Why? Because the Lord is my helper. Say it with me. The Lord is my helper. One more time. Lord. Say it like you mean it. The Lord is my helper. How can we move through this new year without fear, regardless of the circumstances that might come our way? It's by recognizing first that Christ is the source, has to be the source of our satisfaction. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 5 again. It says, "Let your lives be without the love of money, and be content with the things that you have." You know, being discontent with what you have can be disastrous. It can overshadow your joy. It can unsettle your peace. And what exactly is contentment? Contentment is this: it's not always getting what you want, but being satisfied with what you have. You see, contentment will make a poor man rich, and discontentment will make a rich man poor. You see, no matter how much you have, if you're not content, you're really poor. Sometimes we want things we don't need. Sometimes we need things we don't want, like help. We get it mixed up. As you know, material things can never bring lasting contentment in our lives, and the reason that it can't is because they can never satisfy the deepest need of our heart. That's probably the reason why the wealthiest man recorded in history, King Solomon, he wrote these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. He says, "Who loves money? He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. Either you can't get enough of it, or when you get it, when you finally reach that magic number of money that you thought would solve all your problems," does it solve all your problems? No. Of course not. I remember when I was a young single guy, I was going to throw age in there, but I can't because single, we've been married for a long time. So, okay. When I was a young single guy, I was at the car dealership and I saw this brand new candy apple red turbocharged sports car with a sunroof. And I thought if I got that car, I would be the coolest dude driving around town and all the girls would dig me. If you guys don't know, dig was a word we used back in the 80s. So you know what I did? I bought that shiny, brand new, candy apple red, turbocharged sports car. It was exhilarating. It was exciting. But then the newness wore off for a few weeks, but the car payments didn't. And that car gave me satisfaction for a brief period of time. And after 6 months, I sold it. He that loves money will never be satisfied with money. You replace money with whatever material thing that you want in there. You won't be satisfied with it. You know that. When you get it, you realize it doesn't truly satisfy. And if you don't get it all, you'll want more. Probably why Jesus said these words: "It's more blessed to give than receive." It brings you true satisfaction when you give to someone rather than receive something. At least it does for me. Kathy was teasing me this weekend. She goes, "You love giving to people. You love giving and giving and giving to people. But," she goes, "you don't like receiving things." So for my birthday, you know, they bought me all kinds of stuff. They bought me a brand new surfboard. They bought me this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, no, why'd you do that? I don't want you to buy me these things. And, you know, but to me, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse number 15, if you look at it with me. It says, then he said to them, Jesus said this, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Your life doesn't consist with what you have. He says, and he told a parable to them, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have no room to store all my crops. Then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I'll build greater ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward who? Toward God. You know how true that is. There's nothing wrong if the Lord has blessed you with money or material things. He did that with Abraham and many other people. But we have to remember who those things truly came from. And we also have to remember that those material things, again, can never satisfy the deepest need of our hearts. So what does? What has to be the source of your satisfaction? Christ in you. Christ in me. Can you say that with me? Those three words? Christ in me. One more time. Christ in me. Recorded into the Bible, King David said this in Psalm 37, verse 4. And I love it. He said these words. He said, delight yourself in who? In the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Hey, that doesn't mean you'll get everything your flesh wants or craves, but it means that if you delight yourself in the Lord, you recognize that he and only he is the source of your satisfaction, then what your heart truly needs, it will get. That's what that verse means. People all around us, friends, family members, neighbors, coworkers, they're trying to find out what truly satisfies the heart. And the answer is simple. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. James, Jesus' brother, wrote these words in James chapter 1, verse 17 on the screen. He wrote these words. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes from the Father, capital F, of lights, with whom there is no change, no shadow of turning. You know, keep your place here in Hebrews. We're going to turn back in just a second, but go with me, if you can, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's just a few pages to your left if you're using a hard copy Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, remember our key verse in Hebrews is be content with the things that you have. And we're talking about contentment here. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me tell you something. You are so rich today if you know the Lord. The Bible says, if you know Jesus, that's great gain because he is the source of your satisfaction, but also he's the source of your sufficiency. Paul explains it here in verse number 7 through 10. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we're going to carry nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with these things. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While coveting after money, some have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what does all that mean? It's simply this. If you have something on your back, you have something in your belly, and you have Jesus in your heart, you're blessed. You're blessed. I was thinking back when I read that several years ago when our kids were really young. They were probably around elementary school age. And we thought we would take them someplace on Christmas Eve. We didn't have service here on Christmas Eve, so we thought we'd take them to a homeless shelter and just help them to learn a lesson about what we can do to help people that are homeless, especially at Christmas time. So we went there, served soup, helped in their soup kitchen, talked to them, shared the Bible with them, waited on them, prayed with them. But there was one homeless man that was there that stood out in my mind more than any other one. His name was Lorenzo. And Lorenzo was also homeless. But I noticed something different about Lorenzo. He was also hopping from table to table, talking to the other homeless people. But he had a Bible in his hand and was sharing the truth of God's word with them. And so I walked up to him and started talking to Lorenzo, and he started to share things with me in the Bible that I didn't know. And here we have a homeless guy teaching a guy with a PhD. And I asked him, I said, Lorenzo, you're such an intelligent man. I said, you know the Bible so well. I said, why are you homeless? And he said these words to me. He said, this is where God wants me to be. He said, this is my mission field. My mission field is preaching and reaching others for Christ in the homeless community. And he says, I'm content. I have everything I need. That really got me here to see that. And I was thinking, this man is going to reach people you and I will never reach. Outside, he looks like he has nothing. Inside, he has everything. He has something special. He has Christ in him. That was a wake-up call for me that day many years ago. We took our kids there that night in hopes that they would be impacted and that they would learn a lesson. I'm the one that learned the lesson. I learned that Christ must be the source of your sufficiency, that he makes sure that you have exactly what you need. Excuse the emotions. It still has stuck with me all these years. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He says, I don't speak because I have need. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, Paul wrote these words while he was in prison, to be content regardless of his circumstances. And the Apostle Paul could greatly speak from experience when he wrote these words. And that's how we are to move through a new year without fear. Do you know why we have fear? We have fear sometimes because we don't think our needs are going to be met, or because we think that the things that are meeting our needs are going to be taken away from us. And that's when we must recognize that Christ is not only the source of our satisfaction, he's not only the source of our sufficiency, but Christ is also the source of our security. If you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 15, look with me once again in verses 5 and 6. Let me just remind you, though, many of us weren't around during the 1920s and 30s, but in 1929, 1930, the stock market crashed. And there were men who were jumping out of skyscrapers committing suicide. Why? Because the things that they were trying to satisfy their heart with, they lost. That's where their security was. We better make sure that our security isn't something that can't be tampered with. You're a rich man, you're a rich woman, not because of the balance in your bank account, but because what you have in Jesus Christ. Again, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your lives be without the love of money and be content with the things you have. You know, the next part of this verse is probably the most encouraging part of this passage of Scripture. It says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We won't lose him. He's the source of our security, and we won't have to face anything alone. In 2022, Kathy and I faced a lot of things that we did not expect. And I don't know what I'm going to face the rest of this year, but there's one thing I know, and that is he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You know, the Greek scholars, and I've got to mention something about Greek because Cody did last week and Clayton did before that, so I've got to mention something about the Greek here, okay, to keep it going. But the Greek scholars actually tell us that that phrase that I just read you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, actually has five negatives in it. Like a double negative in English is bad, but in Greek, I guess it's good. But in the Greek, this is what it literally says if you were to literally translate it from the Greek to the English. Five negatives. This is what it literally says. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you nor forsake you. When God said it, he meant it. Amen? I love it. Now watch this again right here in Hebrews 13, verse 5. It gets better. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But now we're gonna zero in on that little phrase, those three words, he has said. Underscore those words. He has said. That's a promise from who? From God, from the mouth of God. He's the source of our security. When I say, God, I don't have the strength to deal with this, the all-powerful God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I say, God, I'm afraid, the God who is always present says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I say, God, I don't know what to do, the God who is all-knowing says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's always present in our lives. Amen? Look with me at Hebrews 13, verse 6. It gets even better. We just read, God says, he has said. But then look what it says in verse 6. So who? We may boldly say. And say it with me. The Lord is my helper. Now put it together. Verse 5, he has said. Verse 6, that we may boldly say. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 2023 may be, and I hope is, a fantastic year for you. But I'm not going to tell you it's going to be all honey and no bees. But I am telling you that you can stand on the promises of God's word. I'm telling you that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. When that time comes, I hope you will. I pray you will. I pray that you'll say that. I pray that you'll say, the Lord is my helper. I don't know what you're going to have to go through in 2023. I don't know. I don't know what sickness. I don't know what heartache. I don't know what trouble. But I know that I know that I know that he will see you through it. I know that you can say, the Lord is my helper. You see, in 2023, we just need to practice the presence of the Lord in our life. We have to realize that he's the source of our satisfaction. He's a source of our sufficiency. He's a source of our security. And lastly, he's a source of our strength. Back in the Old Testament, God sent a man named Gideon out as the people of Israel were getting ready to go out to battle against another people group, the Midianites. And there were too many Israelites going to battle. And God did something spectacular. He did something so that way, in case the Israelites won the battle, they wouldn't boast that they had saved themselves by their own strength. The Bible says he reduced the number of their army from 32,000 people to 300. With an army that small, if they won, there would be no doubt that the victory came from God. Earlier we read from Philippians chapter 4 on the screen, the Apostle Paul, with all that he went through, he ended up in prison. There was no way that that man, after everything he went through in his ministry, could have survived mentally, physically, spiritually. So what was the solution for him? What's the solution for us? Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, he says, hey, I can do all these things through Christ who gives me strength. regardless of what 2023 holds for you, I'm pretty sure dragons won't be involved. But I want you to recognize the source of everything that you will ever need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will testify, the Lord is my helper.